Okay, good morning, everybody. If you don't as of yet have your siddur, it's a good idea to get it. So just get your siddur. We're going to be starting with the bracha ritzei, which we gave a drop of an introduction last time. And what we'll do is I'll just read the bracha both in the Nusach Ari and the Nusach Ashkenaz, and we'll try to understand what's happening. Because it's, as we said last time, we have completed the 13 intermediary brachas, which was preceded by the 3 introductory brachas, those 3 where we praised Hashem, and then we went into the 13 requests. And now we are coming to the last 3 brachas, which are the conclusion of the Shemayna Esrei, which as we, word that's used is Hoida'a, which can mean praise, acknowledgement. They are the 3 concluding brachas. So Ritzei is the first of the 3 concluding brachas of the Shemayna Esrei. So let's read it inside and let's see what it's all about. Okay, so first I'm just going to read the Ashkenaz and then I'll read the Nusach Ari. Very, just 1 or 2 different words. Ritzei Hashem Aleikenu bi'amcha Yisrael u'bisfilasam. Be favorable, Hashem, our God, towards your people Israel and their prayers. V'hoshev es ha'avayda lidver be'secha, and restore the service to the Holy of Holies. V'ishe Yisrael, and the fire offerings of the Jewish people, u'svilasam, and their prayers. Ba'ahava, with love, sikabel b'rotzayin, accept with favor. So here they say, and their prayers accept with love and favor. Usihi l'rotzayin tamid, avaydas Yisrael amecha, and may the service of your people Israel always be favorable to you. And then there's in the Ashkenaz, in the art scroll, they have the Yalav Yavah here, because when it's Rosh Chodesh, this is where we insert Yalav Yavai, but we are not going to do that. Let's skip now to the end of the bracha. V'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion b'rachamim. May our eyes behold your return to Tzion in compassion. Baruch atah Hashem, hamachazir shchinasei l'tzion. Blessed are you, Hashem, who restores his presence to Tzion. I know it's a bit repetitive, but I just want to see how the Ari, this an extra word there, Aritzei Hashem Aleikenu bi'amcha Yisrael. So again, look with favor, Lord our God, on your people Israel. Ulisvilasam she'ei, the Ashkenaz doesn't have that, and pay heed to their prayers. V'hoshev ha'avayda l'dvir be'secha, and restore the service to your sanctuary. V'ishe Yisrael, and the you have Ishe Yisrael usvilosam be'ahava sekabel biratzain, and accept with love and favor Israel's fire offerings and prayer. Usihi l'ratzain tamid avaydas Yisrael amecha, and may the service of your people Israel always find favor. And again, v'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion b'rachamim, may our eyes behold your return to Tzion in mercy. Baruch atah Hashem, hamachazir shchinasei l'tzion. Blessed are you, Hashem, who restores his divine presence to Tzion. Okay, it's not such an easy bracha to understand for a few reasons. First of all, we just said these are the first of the 3 concluding blessings, which means, and we did mention last week that there is a halacha that requests are not done, not during the first 3 and not on the last 3. So this is not supposed to be a request. The requests are the middle 13. And yet it seems to imply a request. Return your presence to Tzion, accept our... It seems a bit of a request. We have to understand what are we saying and what does it mean. The other interesting thing, it seems a little bit repetitive. It seems a little bit similar to the bracha we learned last week, because in Shema Kaleinu, we also asked Hashem, right, to accept our tefillah birachamim uveratzon, right, to accept our tefillah with compassion and with mercy and with will, right? We did say that last week, and here we seem to be saying something very similar, that he should accept our tefillahs and our karbanis, our sacrifices, with compassion. Well, not with compassion, actually, but with will. Here we don't say compassion. Okay, so we have to understand, what are we asking for? What is the theme? What is this tefillah? What does it mean? What are we coming to? So just to understand, first of all, that the name in every tefillah has a sort of a name that they encapsulate. The name of this one is Avodah. This is called the tefillah of service. The temple, well, it's obviously a lot about, you can see about the karbanis, about the temple service. So it does have to do with, as we say, this is called Avodah. So I'm sorry, I always apologize, but we will go layer by layer, so it could be a little bit repetitive, so forgive me. But I just want to see first one way, and then we're going to go a little bit deeper to understanding what this is. So obviously, we can see that in this tefillah, definitely, there is a very big emphasis on the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash, the service of the Karbanis, in Jerusalem, right? That Hashem should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. That's not what we're asking for, but we are saying that that's what we're hoping for here, right? So that we can serve him in the Beis HaMikdash, bring the sacrifices that they used to bring in the times of old. Now, to understand, remember we've mentioned at the beginning that the concept of tefillah, the concept of, and tefillah is the Amidah, is the central pillar of our davening, really comes on the basis, if you want to say, of two things. First of all, we know that our forefathers established the davening. That's why we have the three Shemayna Esrays, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, right? We have. But then there was another thing. Then there were, as we know, the karbanis, the special sacrifices, and specifically the sacrifice that we call the Karban Tamid. The Karban Tamid was the constant sacrifice, that one that was brought in the morning and then again in the late afternoon. And that corresponds to the Shachris prayer and the Mincha prayer. And then it burned through the night, which corresponds to the concept of the Ma'ariv. And our tefillah corresponds, if you want to say, and in a sense is almost as a replacement for that karban. That karban, interestingly, the karban tamid, which was the constant karban, which was a karban sibur, which was brought on behalf of the congregation of the entire Jewish people, actually began all the way from the time of the giving of the Torah, and really only had a small break during the 70 years in the Babylonian exile, and continued until the end of the Second Temple. We know that with the Karban Tamid was such an important and integral part of the service, not only in the Beis HaMikdash, but of the Jewish people. Why? Because the Chachamim tell us something very fascinating. When Hashem created the world, He created the world and He sustained the world, as we know. He sustained the world. He is the giver. He is the one that we rely on to give us all of our sustenance. In the merit of what does He give us our sustenance? So it explains that the first 26 generations of the world, so for the first 2,500 years, the truth is it was a free handout. It was handouts. We were living on welfare. We didn't do anything. Hashem just gave. He gave, He gave, He gave. We did nothing to earn it, nothing to deserve it. That was the first 26 generations. Actually corresponding to, if you look in Tehillim, we have, I think it's chapter 137, Hoidu Hashem Ki Toiv, right? Where we say, thank you Hashem, because you are good. And there are 26 times that we say that, right? We say it in Shabbos Davening also. Ki li oylam chasdai, right? Ki li oylam chasdai. Because your kindness, it just literally means your kindness is forever, but it means that you sustain the world with your kindness, which meant that for 26 generations, the world existed only because of the kindness, the free loan of Hashem, not loan, free giving of Hashem. Okay, but then Hashem said, enough, time to grow up, time to start making a living. I'll give you a loan, and now you have to do something with it. And that came the time when we built the Mishkan, and then the Beis HaMikdash, and we started to actually bring and reveal, so to speak, godliness in the world by doing Torah, learning Torah, and doing mitzvahs. That's a different type of a work. Now, we are not getting a free loan, so to speak, anymore, and we don't want a free loan anymore. Now, we have to earn what we have, right? So, what do we say? We have to work for it, and we have to get it. But now we have a little bit of a problem. They say a cute thing, it's like almost we entered the family business. You know, Hashem says, time to come to work, enter the family business. Now you're going to reveal me in the world. Fantastic. And then the world, in the merit of that, I will continuously sustain the world. But what happens when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and we can't bring the Karban Tamid anymore? Do we go back to welfare, to handouts? No. Doesn't work. Don't go back. That never happens. We cannot go back to that state ever again. So what does Hashem do? And we know that Hashem says, I'll find you a different form of work. It is temporary, so to speak. It's not the ideal form in the sense, but it is instead, and it is a replacement. And that is what we do when we daven Shemayna Esrei in the morning, Shemayna Esrei in the afternoon, corresponding to that carbon. So it is our Shemayna Esrei, which reveals godliness in the world, right? That's what we're doing. We're drawing down godliness and in turn making the world the deserving place, so to speak, for Hashem's kindness, for Hashem's beneficence. And this is what we do. So we're earning in a sense. We're working. Okay, so now that's what we understand. So now coming back to understand, therefore, what does this mean? What does this mean as far as our tefillah? Our tefillah. What is our tefillah then? So I just want to read you something very, very beautiful. I just want to read you a few of these lines, magnificent lines. So we say that, just before we explain that the concept of a carbon, as we all know, what is a carbon, and that's what we're doing by davening. The word carbon comes from the word karev, to come close to God. When we daven, what are we attempting to do? We are attempting to forge a very deep connection, a deep bond with Hashem, to come close to God, right? That's what the davening does. Okay, so let's see, we say like this, that, and Reb Shamshon Filhirsch explains it beautifully, that he says that especially in the Holy of Holies, right, where only the Kohen Gadol was privileged to go in, but what happened when he went into the Holy of Holies on the holiest day of the year, he would have this most incredible bond, this most incredible connection with Hashem. It was, as we say, an intimate bond with Hashem, and that's why in our paragraph we say Lidvir Beisecha. The word Dvir Beisecha is referring to not just the Beis HaMikdash as a whole, but specifically to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. Dvir comes from the word Dibor, speech, because this is the place of ultimate communication, ultimate bonding with Hashem, where we have this very deep connection that we create with Hashem. We converse, Hashem converses back, so to speak. There is this conversation, but even more than that, in the Holy of Holies, what was there? We know the main object in the Holy of Holies was the Arein, was the Ark. And in it was the Luchais, was the tablets. The tablets we know contain the Aseres HaDibreis, Diber, Divreis, same word as Dvir. These are the 10 words, so to speak, 10 sentences. They're utterances, different than the utterances that created the world, but these are the 10 statements where Hashem communicates to us how we can connect to Him. What do we do in order to reveal godliness in the world, right? We do His Torah and His mitzvahs, the 10 commandments. When we complete, when we live with the 10 commandments, we connect to Hashem and we reveal godliness in the world. So the Dvir Beisecha means that this is the place where we are, so to speak, in the ultimate bond with Hashem. Okay, let's see, so develop this a little bit more to understand still what are we saying here. And we say a very interesting thing, that the only place, Reb Shamshon Filhirsch says it beautifully, he says, the only good that a person can have is in their closeness to Hashem. Like David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Kirvas Aleikim Li Toiv, the closeness to God is good for me. That's my good. That's the only good that I have. Okay, so therefore we say like this. So the sacrifices brought us close. Now we daven, we say Shemayna Esrei, and we are hopefully, so to speak, rebonding, reconnecting, feeling this incredible closeness. But what does this mean? So let's analyze. What's a carbon? When you bring a carbon, a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, what did you do? So it sounds like such a superficial thing. You took an animal, and you put it on the Mizbeach, and you whatever you did there, and then sometimes you got to eat from it, sometimes the Kohen got to eat from it, whatever it is. But what does it mean? What is a carbon? So obviously, if the word carbon comes from the word kiruv, close, a carbon must be the process by which we, connect to Hashem. Okay, so we say like this, what is a carbon? Because a carbon means that we are taking our physical possessions, right? Something that we've, not only possessions perhaps that we've managed to inherit, but it's deeper than that. Most of our physical possessions are things that we've worked for, which means that we've put our sweat and blood, so to speak, in to go to work, to earn the money, and to buy that cow. right? Or to raise that cow. And now what do? We take from what is, so to speak, our sweat, what we have poured our effort into, and we take that and we give it to Hashem. The truth is we should give our whole self to Hashem, but we can't. That's just not the way it works. So this is a representative, an idea that a sacrifice shows that we are giving ourselves to Hashem. By giving of our possessions to Hashem, we are giving ourselves, because our possessions is us. It's what we've worked, what we've invested in. And we show, we reflect that really everything of ours belongs to Hashem, not only of our possessions, but of us. We belong to Hashem. So we give the animal. But the truth is what it shows, and for us especially now when we don't actually just give an animal, it actually shows something quite incredible. It shows that we're going to serve Hashem now with our external possessions, but much more. Hashem doesn't just want that. That's nothing. That's just like a token. It's much deeper than that. What Hashem wants is that we should serve Him with all of our creativity, with all our abilities, with all our character traits, with all our uniqueness, with everything that we are. We serve Hashem. We dedicate it. We give it to God. We say, we are yours. And we will serve you through all of these things, which means we will use everything that you have given us. And that means we're acknowledging that it's all from Hashem to begin with. So whether it be our intelligence, whether it be our talents, whether it be our abilities, whatever it may be, we say we know it's from you. And now we are going to in turn use it to serve you and to spread godliness in the world. Okay, this is the idea of a carbon, of how we do a carbon, so to speak, now. So we devote our minds, our heart, our whole self to serving Hashem. And the truth is that the best thing to do is to give the best to Hashem. As we know, that's why a carbon, you know, even from the beginning when it was Cain and Hevel, the most important thing is not what you're giving, but that it's your best, so to speak. It's your prize. It's what you have, the most, so to speak, the best of what you have. And you take that and you dedicate and you give it back to Hashem. So then we have an interesting question, that the truth is that now, as we say, even though we do this, right? This is all very nice and good. We try to do this. This is what we're trying to do. Every time we do, we learn Torah and we do a mitzvah. So with Torah, with learning, we're giving our intellect, our time. With mitzvahs, it's our money as well. And it's also helping others, putting ourselves aside, our own needs aside. All of these things, this is how we live as a Jew, because we know that we are here to serve Hashem and to reveal godliness. That's our whole purpose in the world. And then the world, so to speak, deserves, or not, that's not the right word, but then Hashem in turn has that will to sustain the world, to continuously sustain the world, and to keep the world going. This is like the process that we go through, and every morning as we begin davening and as we say Ritzeh, we remind ourselves and we refocus that this is the purpose, this is the goal. Okay, let's see a little bit more, as we say, in a bit more detail. Also, we say an interesting thing. So when we're talking about specifically the Beis HaMikdash, so now we know the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, as we say. So Hashem says, I don't have, you know, the specific resting place in this world. And therefore, how are we going to reveal godliness? So we know what we do, as we say, is we learn Torah, we do mitzvahs. And the interesting thing is, as we said, the Dvir was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. So that's why it's the words of our mouth, the communication by which we start our day. Why we say Maida Ani, and then we start our day. We daven and we say Shemayna Esrei. And when we are entering the Holy of Holies, that's what we're doing. And as we progress through the Shemayna Esrei, we're going deeper and deeper and deeper into the Beis HaMikdash till we enter now into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And here we say we are really and truly one with Hashem. Like nothing else exists. It's just, so to speak, Hashem. Almost even we don't exist. We put ourselves aside and now it's all about Hashem. Just want to see. And what that means also is that we acknowledge, not only we acknowledge that we are from Hashem, but we acknowledge that Hashem is the guide and He is the one by which we will live our life, right? So when we close the Siddur afterwards, we take it with us and we know that every decision and every action that we do is based upon the guidance, the specific instruction that Hashem has left us, okay? We still haven't 100% gotten to the words. We'll see in a minute to understand how this is expressed in this prayer. But just a drop more. So as we see, so what we're asking for, if you want to say in a general way, of in this tefillah, the first of the last three, is that we're asking Hashem, so to speak, almost to restore two things. First of all, sacrifices, because sacrifices was the physical way we connected to Hashem. And of course, Hashem's presence in the world. That's what the sacrifices represented. And that's why, that's what we're saying in the prayer, that we should return us to the Beis HaMikdash, return the ability that we have to do the sacrifices, and of course, to return your Shechina, your presence, back into the world. And interestingly enough, fascinating, we say that the Beis HaMikdash was the home, if you want to say, it was the home for the Shekhinah. That's what it was. That's where the Shekhinah was revealed, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. Similar to our body being the home for our neshama. So our neshama is housed by our body in this world. The Beis HaMikdash housed the revelation of godliness. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, now we are left just with us, so to speak. We, wherever we are in the world, we have to make sure to reveal the godliness. In other words, when somebody looks at us, what should they see? Well, we are a body, that's what they see. But what should be coming through is our neshama. Because how does that work? If that's what we live by, if that's our main focus, if that becomes who we are, if that's what we identify with. And that way, this is the way we reveal godliness. We become, in a sense, the representative, in a way, of God in the world. That's what a Jew is. And we make a tremendous, in the words of Rabbi Schwab, a Kiddush Hashem. That's what we are meant to do. Wherever we walk, we know, whether we like it or not, a Jew walks, and everybody points us out. They love to point us out in the negative. But we have an incredible responsibility. We are the representatives of God in the world. So we reveal godliness in the world. That's what we do. And we can do that in a positive way when we identify with our neshama. Then we are doing the ritzei. And we'll see in a minute how that comes back. Okay, so just a second, one more thing. Before we go, just one more interesting, beautiful thing that we see also, how as we're talking about the carbon was the thing that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, if you want to say, represented this concept, and it revealed godliness. And that's why we have an interesting thing, that the carbon incorporated all the four different realms of the world. What do I mean by the four realms? So we know that the world can be divided in different ways, but Kabbalistically we say that there is the doimim. In Hebrew we use the word doimim, which is the inanimate, tzaymeach, which is the things that grow, chai, the animal kingdom, midaber, which is literally the speakers, which is the human being, right? The four different ways. A carbon incorporates all, because we want to reveal godliness in all aspects of the world. So for the daimim, we know that when you brought us a sacrifice, when you brought a carbon, you had to bring, if you want, the salt. There was never a carbon without salt. What does the salt represent? The salt represents the inanimate, right? That's the daimim. Then, of course, when you brought the carbon, you brought minchas with it, right? You brought different meal offerings. Those are the tzaymeach, the things that grow, the flower that grows. Then you have the animal itself, which is the animal kingdom. And of course, who's bringing the carbon? And who says the confession on the carbon? It is the human being. So it incorporates all aspects of this world, which means it reveals godliness in every part of the world, which for us means that in our life, we have to reveal godliness in every aspect of our life, which in turn means we reveal godliness in every aspect of the world. That's what we do. That's the purpose. That's what we're meant to be doing constantly. And then, so that's why we say, you know, it says interesting thing that at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't that something was absolutely lost, even though it was, I mean, it's something we're yearning for, but Hashem does give us the replacement, and that is the tefillah that we say every day. That's the replacement for those karbanis. Okay, just, I think, almost finished with this one. I just want to see. Oh, and we find a fascinating thing, actually. It says that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash originally, at the beginning, it says that he said, Ki Beisi Beis Tefillah Yikare L'chol Ha'amim. He didn't say that this is only a house where you bring sacrifices. He said, this is a house which you pray from. So already in its original building, the Beis HaMikdash was set aside as a place of sacrifices, but deeper, a place of tefillah, because sacrifice and tefillah can be interchanged. And it was there set already from the beginning of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So when we daven, what we are doing is, we are saying like this, we are saying we are standing before Hashem, and we are saying that we are offering ourselves and everything that we have to you, Hashem. We are yours. Okay, now we're going to get a little bit more, a very beautiful thing. And that's why actually we use those words, ritzei and l'ratzein, because what does it mean, ritzei? Ritzei means to want, right? Like ratzein, like want. That we ask Hashem, we're sort of saying to Hashem, ritzei, that you should want us, right? You should willingly accept us. What does that mean? He says, we ask Hashem to receive with love, which is different to what we asked in Shema Kaleinu when we asked Hashem to hear with mercy. So one of the fascinating things it says, what's the difference? What we said, it's quite a similar tefillah to Shema Kaleinu, but it's really not. It's totally different because Shema Kaleinu is one of the middle ones where we're requesting. Because so we can see there, you see how we say to Hashem, listen and please hear all of our prayers with compassion, which means whether we deserve it, whether we don't deserve it, just take all of our tefillahs and fulfill them. So that's a real request. Here we're not saying that. Here we are saying, Hashem, I am giving you me. I am yours. That's what we're saying here. Please, we ask him to accept us with love. It's not accept our requests with love. It's accept us and our requests and everything we have with love. Why? And what does it mean? Because we are here to be yours. We are yours to serve you, to reveal you in this world. This is really, in a nutshell, the theme of what Ritzei is, the beginning of the acknowledgement of the thanks that we do at the last part of the Shemayna Esrei. It's really, in a sense, is now we are refocusing, as we said, because we've gotten so involved in ourselves in those 13, you know, brachas that we're asking for all our needs. Now we have to refocus and remember, why are we here? We're here to serve Hashem. Okay, we're going to go into that in a drop more depth in a second. I just want to make sure, because I have here from Rabbi Schwab, I want to see he says a few other very beautiful, just general ideas. It says like this, first of all, as we say that these, as we just mentioned, that these, our tefillah is corresponding to the carbon tamid. Now, every day when they brought a carbon tamid, they also brought something called a mincha with the carbon tamid, like a carbon mincha, it's called. Minchas are this like flour and oil, you know, that they would mix together and they would bring it together with the carbon. He says that the specific paragraph of Ritzei corresponds to the carbon mincha that was brought with the carbon tamid. What does the carbon mincha represent? Such a beautiful thing. So first of all, he says not to confuse it with the word mincha that we do when we daven mincha, because when we daven mincha, it actually comes from a different source. Mincha that we pray in the afternoon actually comes from the word menucha. Why? Rest. Interesting, mincha is not usually done at a time of rest. It's actually quite, it's the rushed tefillah in the middle of everything, but it's when the sun is about to rest. That's the idea. It's the sun is going to be setting soon, so that's the mincha prayer. Okay, nothing to do with this mincha. This mincha that we're talking about, this carbon mincha that was brought both with the morning tamid and the afternoon tamid, represents something different. The word mincha is a present. But in Hebrew, most of us know present as matana, a matana, right? That's the word for present that most of us use. But mincha is also a present. You know, we have it in the Chumash, we have it with Yaakov Avinu. What's the difference between a matana and a mincha? A matana is a present that you give somebody, something that they probably need, something to fill a void. You give them a matana, a present. A mincha is a different type of thing. A mincha, the example is, it's a token. It's like if somebody invites you for Shabbos, some people call up and say, what can I get you that you need? You know, but some people don't do that. Some people just bring something nice. You don't need it. Did you need those beautiful flowers? Did you need that extra nice bottle of wine? You have wine. If they invited you, I hope you have wine for Kiddush. Otherwise, if you're coming with the wine, I mean, you should have brought it before. If you come to the door on Friday night and you bring the wine, that means you are giving a mincha. What's the purpose of a mincha? A mincha is a token where you want to create a bond of love. It's giving somebody something they don't need, they don't expect. It's not something that they're waiting for. It's something that you are giving because you are creating a bond. It is that friendship. That's what a mincha is. And this, he says, is what this ritzei is about. Here, after we've spent so much time thinking about ourselves, now we turn to Hashem and we say, we are giving. Now we say, we really want to be yours. We want to be very connected to you. This is a mincha, a bond with Hashem. And that's what we're doing in this paragraph. That's what we're asking. This is the root, so to speak, of Ritzei. So we ask Hashem to be favorable. We say to be favorable towards Israel and their prayers. Very interesting. Because as you can see, we're asking Hashem to accept us, right, as a people, and to accept our prayers. Because as we said, the prayers accomplish a tremendous amount. They reveal godliness in the world. That's the idea. But to accept us as a people. And the word we use is Yisroel. And we know that there's two names of the Jewish people, Yaakov and Yisroel. Yisroel is used, it's the name of Yaakov that was given to him after he struggled with the angel of Esav. Then he was given, Kisarisa, Imelekim, V'imanoshim, V'tuchal, right? You struggled and you've overcome your struggle. We mentioned originally, I think at the beginning of the Shemayna Esrei, that Shemayna Esrei, although it is a very silent and, you know, prayer where we're, you know, so to speak, but it's actually, tefillah is an Aveda. As we say, this is what this actual paragraph is called, Aveda, but the whole tefillah is an Aveda. Aveda means that we are actually struggling because we're working to put ourself aside and to be focused on Hashem. That's the biggest struggle for a human being. So here we say we come as the Jewish people who have struggled. We've gone through a lot of the Shemayna Esrei, and we have presented all of our needs and all of our challenges and all of our difficulties. And now we say to Hashem, please accept our tefillah, accept us as a Jewish people, as a Yisroel, as somebody who taka has struggled, and accept and help us to make sure that we can do what you want, which is to make a Kiddush Hashem in the world. And Rabbi Schwab also says something else very beautiful. He says that davening, we always say, is tefillah shebelev, right? That's what we say, la'avdecha b'chol levavchem, right? We should serve God with all your heart. But then there's also another part to that sentence, uvechol nafshechem, with all your soul. He says that this paragraph now is not only that we are giving our heart to God, but here we're giving our full soul to God. This is even deeper and even more, which means we're giving our whole self up to God. That's what we are. That's what we're doing here. We are literally, in a sense, if you want to say, having mesiras nefesh. But God, you know, in last week's parasha, when Avraham took Yitzchak and he was going to put him on the Akedah, right? And he would bring him as a korban. Hashem said, no, Hashem doesn't want us to sacrifice ourselves that way. What we do is we sacrifice ourselves to God in a different way. That is by living, by truly being alive, not by dying, but by actually living and living fully, as we said, with all our talents, with all our capabilities, with all our every capacity that we have. We live, but what do we live for? We live for a higher purpose. That's the ultimate sacrifice. So we give, we focus, we literally put our whole self, our whole nefesh, nafshechem, your whole levavchem, your whole heart, all focused on what we're here for, to serve Hashem. That's what this tefillah is. And that's why he says also this tefillah is a very beautiful idea. We're not asking to receive. This is not a request. Those requests are the 13 middle ones. Here we're actually saying to Hashem, I want to give you something. Please accept us, not give us. We're not asking Hashem to give to us. We want to give ourselves to you. Allow us to be the giver now. We want to give from ourselves back to you. So that's where we see that it is like a kind of a thank you. You've given us so much. We acknowledge everything is from you. And now we say, we want to give back. We want to give ourselves to you. That's what Rabbi Schwab says very beautifully. So it's not receiving anything, but we're attempting to give. We want to become almost the mashpia, the giver. That's what it means, ritze. And we ask Hashem to want us, to accept us, to want that we should be his and that we should be able to represent him and we should be able to spread him in the world. So that's really what this tefillah is all about. I just want to see if there was one more thing. I think that was all from this one. And just a little bit, just a drop. I'm going to share something with a drop repetitive, but just to take it a drop deeper. Just want to see. We said that in the previous one, in Shema Kailenu, when we were asking, we said that he should tekabel birachamim. He should receive with compassion, with mercy, because that's where we're asking for our requests, right? We're saying, Hashem, please fulfill our requests. So accept our tefillah to fulfill our request. That's where we ask for compassion. But over here, we're saying biratzain. Ratzain is will. It's not mercy, because what we're asking is to be pleasing in the eyes of Hashem. We want him to want us. It's a whole different thing. It's a very different type of a request. Okay, just to... just before we go to the other, I just want to share one more thing. As we say, we conclude and we see one at the prayer. We say v'sechezena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion berachamim, right? That we should may our eyes see your merciful one return to Tzion, right? What does that mean, v'sechezena? So the truth is, sechezena is translated as to see, right? There's really the word to see. Is we would say visirena, we should see. Re'eh is to see. But the word chazayin, we know we have that word actually used usually with prophecy. When a prophet sees, he sees in the way of chazayin, which is a much deeper type of a vision. That's a prophetic vision. Why do we ask for a prophetic vision? Well, first of all, because the Beis HaMikdash is not here, right? So we want this prophetic vision. But actually, interestingly, just to understand that we say, v'sechezena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion berachamim, right? That we ask Hashem to see your merciful return to Tzion. And then we say, Baruch Ata Hashem ha-machazir, who returns in the present tense, right? So we are actually, interestingly, it's not like we're saying something for the future. We have such a strong emunah, such a strong belief. It's as if Hashem is rebuilding at the moment the Beis HaMikdash, and we almost see it now. So why do we use the word of prophecy here? It's not for the future. Rather, the reason why we're using v'sechezena instead of v'sirena is because we want to have a deeper view. It's not a view for the future, but it's a deeper view. Why do we need a deeper view? Because the Beis HaMikdash represents something quite beautiful. What we're trying to say is we want to see godliness revealed. That's where it was in the Beis HaMikdash. If we think about what used to happen in the Beis HaMikdash, the whole existence of the way everything worked was miraculous. Constant miracles, right? In Pirkei Avos, it goes through 10 miracles that used to happen. Just on a simple level, you know, we just talk about things. We don't reflect on them because we just... sometimes don't think of them in a real way. But if we would stop and think for a moment that on Sukkot, you know, we just celebrated Sukkot, and we say the Jewish people, they all went up to the Beis HaMikdash, right? Sholesh Vigolim, you go up to the Beis HaMikdash. Could you imagine millions of people, even now in Yerushalayim, you know, when they have, it's so magnificent when you get to see, you know, when they have the Berchas Kayanim and Chol HaMoed, and you see thousands upon thousands of people converging there right outside the Kaisel. You think, is it possible to fit more? Imagine if everybody in the world, all the Jewish people, would really be able to go. Would we have fit the whole Yerushalayim? Not that small space, the Har HaBayis. How is that possible? It was a miracle, and it will be a miracle. The small space which contains the Beis HaMikdash will hold all of us. It will. That's what it says. We will all fit. How? Doesn't matter that we need a chizayin, we need a prophetic view. We have to look deeper. We have to look with our eyes of flesh, but with our eyes that are of flesh, but know that there is a God in the world and that he does things miraculously. If you think about how the Korban Pesach worked, everybody had to bring that Korban Pesach in those few hours on Erev Pesach, even in the times of old when the population was smaller. Actually, practically, if you took an account, it's impossible. It's impossible. But they did it. Somehow they managed. They managed to fit in that everybody who wanted and needed to bring a Korban Pesach did in those few hours. How? It was a miracle. So this is what V'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tziyon b'rachamim. Let us see with a prophetic, with a deeper vision, how the miracles will return. But it's also for us in the present tense. We ask Hashem, let us see things in a deeper way. Make sure that we don't look at things just superficially, how they appear to us, haphazardly, just by chance. Let us see the godliness in everything, the miracle in everything, and in everything that we experience, and then we see the meaning, and then we see that yes, if this happens, it means that there's something we're meant to do with it, and that's what we ask Hashem. V'sechazena. Okay, so that's in the words. I just want to, as we said, we went through very beautifully. I just want to show you something. Let me just see. Sorry, just one more thing, and then I want to, because it's also important, because also we use this word, hamachazir shchinasai, to where do you want Hashem to return his shchina, his presence, to Tzion. Okay, so simply we think Tzion is Yerushalayim, which it is in many cases. But over here it means something a little bit different than just Yerushalayim. First of all, because it also applies nowadays. And second of all, because originally, if we think about it, when the first physical thing that was made to hold godliness was the Mishkan. The Mishkan wasn't in Yerushalayim, it was in the desert. So what does it mean to return Hashem's Shechina to its original where it was? And actually it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan in the desert, the Malachim said this. They said, Baruch atah Hashem, hamachazir shchinasai l'tzion. That's where it comes from. The angels said it first. They said it when the Mishkan was built. They said, blessed are you, Hashem, that you have returned your shchina back to Tzion. What does it mean, you have returned your shchina to Tzion? But Hashem wasn't there, was he? This was a new thing, the Mishkan. So first of all, we know, we are told that originally Hashem's presence was felt most in this world. Then he withdrew it. And our job is to bring him back down, to re-reveal him, so to speak. To take away all the covers, to take away everything that blocks. How do we do it? With Tzion. So Tzion could be, as we say, Yerushalayim, but it means also Tzion. The word Tzion, litzayin, is to highlight something, right? Is to point something out. It's like sometimes when you say something of excellence, mitsuyan, it's excellent, but that's because it stands out. It's something, it's a mark. So what is Tzion? Tzion means, refers to all of the mitzvahs that a Jew does. The Torah that we learn and the mitzvahs that we do. Hamachazir shchinasai l'tzion. We ask Hashem, we say, as we said before, we want to serve you. We are giving you ourselves, which means that we want to do as many mitzvahs as we possibly can with whatever you have given us. And we ask that our mitzvahs should truly be the revelation of godliness, because that's the point, that's what they are. It's like we say, we switch the, you know, put on the light by switching the light switch. What happens? All of a sudden, there's light. We do a mitzvah, all of a sudden there's a revelation of godliness, but Hashem has to make it happen, right? That's the one that makes it happen. So we ask Him, return, please, look at our mitzvahs, even if when we don't do it so perfectly, even when they're done, you know, whatever, the best way we can, but whatever it is, we're just us. And nevertheless, we ask Him to return His presence into our mitzvahs so that we can do what you want us to do, reveal you in this world. So now, again, I ask forgiveness, because I know I'm repeating, but it's just such a magnificent paragraph, and I'll just show you in a very beautiful way. I heard a very nice share. It was a person, Rabbi Tversky. It's a nephew of the Rabbi Tversky that we know, lives in Chicago, and he gave a very nice little shiur on this concept, and he explains very, very beautifully, and he said that, as we say, this follows Shema Kaleinu, and it sounds a little bit like it's repetitive, but he says, no, this is totally not repetitive, because as we're saying here, what happens now, he says, is that when you come to the concept of tefillah, as we say, tefillah is all our requests, really, we're come to avoda, service. And what is service? Service means Not that we're asking for our needs, but we're asking Hashem to willingly accept us, as we said before. We say to Hashem, we refocus, we so to speak, you know, we reset, and we say to Hashem that we are prepared, we're willing to give our whole self and all of our needs that we've just asked for and we hope you fulfill. We're giving it back to you. We're going to use it to serve you. That's why it really works, that it fits right after all the 13 requests that we've had. So that's what we said. So this is our expression, that what we want to do when we ask Hashem to help us, we say, Hashem, we want to make your will our will. And when we make your will our will, then what happens, Pirkei Avos tells us, is Hashem makes our will His will. It's a very beautiful thing. What is that? That's why it's Ritzei, and we have the word Ratzin so many times. We're running through this concept of will. We dedicate, it's not just what we do, it's not just our external that we're going to do a mitzvah, we're going to learn Torah, set aside a little bit of time here and there, give a little bit of money. No. It's our essence, it's our self, it's our will, it's our greatest drive, our greatest us. We want that for Hashem. We want that we should want only what Hashem wants. That's what we're asking. That's what we're stating here, in a sense. That's what we're hoping to attain through our davening. So that's why it's not really a request. It's actually, as we say, we're saying, like, accept all our tefillos willingly with love. Why? Because we are accepting your will with love. And that's what we say. This is where we accept, we become a true servant of Hashem, a servant that doesn't expect a reward. A servant who serves their master because they love them, because they want to please them. Again, the word pleasing, ritzei, to please Hashem. We want to please you. We want to do your will. We want to spread you in the world. That is your will. That's what we know. And we have a very beautiful little formula that gives a little bit of help of how we can do it. So I know time is running, and I just want to share a very beautiful idea that's connected to this. In Chumash, you know, the parashas, everything's very exact in the order of the Chumash. So we say that Parshas in the Parshas at the end of Devarim, Ki Savai, comes right after the Parshas Ki Seitzei. What's at the end of Parshas Ki Seitzei? The story of Amalek. Okay, how Amalek came and then made the Jewish people cold and apathetic to God. Right after that, what's Parshas Ki Savai? The concept of Bikurim. What's the connection? So we say like this. What are Bikurim? Bikurim, we know, are the first of our fruits. We have a very interesting thing in Torah that we say that Hashem, for some reason, if you look through Torah, Hashem seems to favor firsts. Okay, believe it or not, firsts. Sometimes the firstborn says, you favor me. Firsts seem to be favored. We find, look, Hashem always wants. The Bechor gets double. He wants the Bikurim. Hashem says, we have a lot of firsts. Chala, the first of your dough, give to Hashem. We say, the Truma is the first of your crops. What does this mean? Hashem favors first. What does first mean? Because Hashem is telling us something extremely profound. He says, what I want is I want to be first. You make yourself second. I am first. You are second. Second to who? Only to Hashem. Not to anybody else, but to Hashem. Hashem is first. We are second, right? That's what we're meant to do. That's actually the avodah of our life. So what happens? We are called, interestingly enough, the Jewish people are called Reishis. But why are we called Reishis? Because we make ourselves second to the Reishis, to God, to the first. That's what we do. That's what identifies us as the Jewish people. Who really fights us? Amalek. He doesn't like it. Because by nature, a human being is self-centered, self-absorbed. We need. We're first. Well, that's what we think of first, as ourselves. And that's why the truth is, the whole time we were asking for all of our needs. What we need, that's what we think of first, what we need. But Hashem says, I'll give you a better formula. If you want to live a life of purpose and meaning, and if you want to live a life where you will truly be able to accomplish and truly be able to be connected to me, make me first. And I'll show you how that works in the it's so beautiful in the structure of the Shemayna Esrei. So keep in mind the word Ritzei, which is the first word of our tefillah. And the word Ritzei is made up of three letters, Reish, Tzadik, and Hey. So the Reish stands for Rishon, first, right? First. What's first? God. He's the one that has to be first. He has to come first in our minds and in our hearts. That's why when we begin the Shemayna Esrei, we begin with the first three brachos, which mention who's first? God, right? That's those three, right? Those are where we praise God. We put Hashem first. That's Reishis, the first three brachos. Then we come to the tzaddik, and tzaddik stands for tzara. We know what tzara is. Tzara is all of our needs. For us, our needs become a tzara. You know, you see a child, they'll come in from outside when it's a little bit hot. I'm dying of thirst, right? Our needs are a tzara. You know, that's how we feel. You know, when we need something, when we have even a little lack, it's a tzara. It's a need. It's a pain, right? That's the 13 middle brachas. Those are our tzaras, right? That's what we unload to God. And the hey stands for haida'a. As we said, that's what the last three blessings are called. The praise of Hashem, right? We are thanking, actually, Hashem. That's what it is, the thanking. So Ritzei stands for the first three, then comes that Hashem is first. That's what we do first. After we acknowledge Hashem as first, Hashem says, then you can tell me what you need. Of course I want to fulfill what you want. I have to. Otherwise, how are you going to serve me, right? How are we going to live? How are we going to survive in the world? So then we can unload all of our tzaris. And then, of course, how do we finish? What do we do with it? After we have unloaded, we truly unload. We say, since we know you are first, Hashem, we know you are in control. You're the source of everything. So now, after we finish those 13, we feel much lighter. Hashem has taken off our burdens, and now we can truly thank Hashem, right? We can truly acknowledge and thank Hashem with the last three blessings that when we come to Ritzei, we begin. If somebody, God forbid, switches the letters and decides to forget about the fact that Hashem is first, and what do they think of first themselves? What does the word make then? Instead of Ritzei, it becomes Tzara. Do you see? Do you see how it works? Because if you put the tzaddik first, you're taking the word, and instead of it being Reishis, Hashem first, you're putting your needs first, the tzaddik first, those 13 middle brachas, that's a tzara. Oh, you're in trouble. Because as we know, even on a simple level, when a person takes their needs and it becomes their focus, and they think that they are the ones who can solve their own problems, and they think they're the ones who have to solve their own problems, they're constantly burdened. You think of them as bent people, and they're broken, and life just is quite challenging and very difficult. And it's a big tzara. But if we do it the other way, where we put Hashem first, it becomes a life which is willing, which is beautiful, which is good, which is ritzei, which is wanted. And that's the goal, so to speak. That's how we have to structure the Shemayna Esrei. That's why this comes this way. There's a very beautiful thing, but time is really... Okay, we have another 4 minutes. I'll just quickly try to share another beautiful thing, because this word of ritzei and tzara could also be switched to another word, the same three letters. This is a word that we had just a few weeks ago in the Parsha. In Parshas Noach, we had the concept when Noach was told, Tzoyar tase bateva, to make a tzoyar. So that's a different way of taking these three letters. Now it's not Reish Tzadik Hei, and it's not Tzadik Reish Hei. Rather, now we have a tzoyar. What does a tzoyar mean? A tzoyar is a window, a light. What does that mean? Interesting, because Tzayar does have the needs first. But who is Noach? So what is Noach? We say a beautiful thing. That Noach, it says, had the ability to take the judgment, the harsh judgment, which was at his time, when Hashem brought the Mabul, and he sweetened the judgment. How do we see that he sweetened the judgment? So again, this is a gematria that's a little bit hard, but you know, with gematria we have where we can just take the numerical value literally, or you can write all the letters out. So the word Elekim, which means God of judgment, right? The harshness, so to speak. If you write it out properly, so you write the Aleph, Aleph, Lamed, Pei, and you write the Lamed, Lamed, Mem, Dalid, you add it up and you get to the number 295. 295 is actually the gematria of the word we're saying. Ritzei, and Tzara, and Tzoyar, they're all 295. Which means that if a person deals with the Amalek is the one who wants to make us live a life of judgment, of harshness. He wants to make us live a life where there is no God, there's only us. We're apathetic. We're cold. That's what Amalek is. It's coldness. It's a life devoid of meaning, of purpose, of anything higher. Then what happens is we live a life of tzara. But if we daven properly and we refocus and we realize everything comes from Hashem and Hashem is part of our life. And another beautiful thing that we have to all acknowledge is, as Yaakov did when he started davening, it said that when Yaakov lay down, you know, the first Shemaine, the place that we have a real concept of davening, is with Yaakov and his dream. And what does it say? It says that Sulam Mutzav Arta, right? The ladder was in the ground, but its top reached the heavens. So we say, even if we are on the ground, we are the lowest of the low. We're a nobody. We're a person anybody can step on. We don't deserve anything. We're Arta. But we should just know that our tefillas can reach to the highest point. We have the ability to take tzara, something which is painful, something which is difficult, and to transform it to light. This is what Noach was able to do. Noach was able to, and that's why it says in the pasuk, Noach ish tamim, and he says, Es ha'elokim hishalech Noach. Noach was able to walk with the word Elokim, the name of God, Elokim, judgment. What does it mean he walked with Elokim? He transformed Elokim. He took judgment and justice and harshness and places where obscurity, where God doesn't seem revealed, and he transformed it to reveal godliness. This is what we do through our davening, and that's what the bracha of Ritzei. We say, Hashem, please accept us and accept our tefillah and accept the entire Jewish nation, but accept it with love and with will, because this is our will. Our will is equal to your will. So here we see how it's not a request like the other 13. It's a whole, now we're so to speak taking a whole shift in the davening. Now we are refocusing. So I hope that was clear. I'm just going to try, let's unmute if you have any questions. Let's see. Okay, I think you can unmute. Is that right? Can you? No? Yeah?
Thank you, Dina, very much. Thank you, Dina.